This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Wonderful Father, just as you told Mary, do not be afraid. Please help us to be less afraid to try new things, so that we can fearlessly follow wherever you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. That prayer that I just shared with you was written by one of our own, one of our youth group pilgrims who just came back from our pilgrimage to Iona and Lindisfarne in Scotland and Northern England. Allie Carpenter is her name. She sings in the choir at 9:30. And her own collect really reflects the theme of what we hear in the gospel today, so I thought it would be an appropriate way for us to begin. This pilgrimage, the ninth pilgrimage that St. Joseph's has sent to Scotland and England, we always have our pilgrims, as a part of their experience, choose a cross that they bring back. And this cross is displayed along with their pilgrimage group photo in the sacristy behind the altar. And so this particular group chose this cross that will now be displayed, that represents their particular pilgrimage journey. And the reason they chose this cross is, if you can look closely, there is a yellow circle in the middle symbolizing the sun, because this was truly the pilgrimage of the sun. They had more warm and sunny days than you would believe possible in Scotland and England. We met a lady who was 78 years old, and she had lived on the island of Lindisfarne all her life, and she said she had never experienced as long a period of consecutive days with sun and warmth as we experienced. We experienced warmth and sun for 16 consecutive days. And for those of you who are veteran pilgrims, you know that that's not normally the case. But on the 17th day, it rained, and it was cold. And our 16-day pilgrims of warmth and sun were spoiled, and they had a difficult time dealing with the rain. I'll come back to that in a little bit. But I want to jump to this gospel story a little bit, and to help us to get into a little bit of a discussion, I want you to ponder this question. What is your favorite prayer? Some people would immediately say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, because we say it so often. Some people might say the 23rd Psalm, because that is one that a lot of people memorize. Some people might say the prayer attributed to St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Some people might say the Serenity Prayer. For me, it is the prayer of Thomas Merton that begins, Lord, I have no idea where I'm going, which is ironically kind of strange since I've been a travel director most of my life, but I love that prayer. But I want to offer you this. There is a contemporary Christian author, and her name is Anne Lamott, and she wrote a book that is called Traveling Mercies, Reflections on the Faith. And she's got a sort of a Irma Bombeck, if you know that lady's sort of approach, that there's humor mixed with some incredible insight into living this life. And she was at a time in her life where she really felt like she needed prayer to help. And this is what she writes in her book. All the people who I know who believe in God told me to pray, so I did. Here are the two best prayers I know. Number one, help me, help me, help me. Prayer number two, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, at first glance, that might seem an oversimplified approach to a life of prayer. But I think there is some incredible motherly practical wisdom in her approach. It is the approach that Peter takes in the story we just heard. How many times, even if you didn't grow up in the church, have we heard that story? I mean, there's so many jokes about walking on water in our culture. And we oftentimes think of Peter as being the one who fails in this story. But it's really just the opposite. Peter is the hero. You know, Peter represents all the time throughout the scriptures the best of us and sort of the worst of us. But for that reason, we should all be able to relate to him. I mean, you think of what Peter does in the scriptures. He's the one who's the first one who recognizes Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And then he turns around and starts telling Jesus the way this is all going to go down, and Jesus has to rebuke him. Those famous lines, "Get behind me, Satan." They happen, right, one after the other. When Jesus starts talking about his death and how he's going to be betrayed, and of course Peter says, "I will never betray you, Jesus. You're my best friend." And then shortly thereafter, we all know that three times he denies even knowing him. And then it even goes to the end of the Gospels in John, where Jesus then brings Peter after all of this, and in the resurrected appearance, he says to Peter, you know, "I forgive you, feed my lambs, I forgive you, feed my sheep." And there's the threefold sort of forgiveness for his denials. And at that point, we would expect Peter and Jesus to walk arm in arm into the sunset, you know, cue the music, and there they go. But it doesn't come down that way, does it? Because then Peter turns around and looks at the beloved disciple and out of envy says, "Well, hey, what about him?" Peter has this back and forth nature that I think we can all relate to as human beings. But the thing is, here in this story, Peter has the courage to get out of the boat. Peter is the only one of the disciples who's willing to step out into the unknown in faith. And why? Because he wants to be with Jesus. There is something in the depth of his being that he knows, this is what I want. And I'm not sure how I'm going to get there, but I'm willing to step out into the unknown and give it a shot. And as Anne Lamott quotes later in her book, you know, faith is the thing that enables us to step out into the unknown in the hopes that we're either going to land on solid ground, or if we don't, God's going to teach us how to fly. All of the other disciples are crouched up on the boat in fear and trembling. But Peter is the only one who has the courage to step out. He's the hero. So the first thing that we learn from all of this is we got to be willing to step out of the boat. We had our pilgrimage celebration at 9:30 with all of our youth, and throughout our 17 days together, there were so many opportunities that our youth were able to take advantage of trying something new. And I mean, it goes from anything from trying a new kind of food to trying a new way to pray to trying a new way to relate to one another. But every single time, it involves a willingness on our part to step out of the boat into the unknown. Now, here's where Anne Lamott's prayer comes in. What does Peter do? He starts walking on the water. You know, we read those lines, and Peter started walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water. Good Lord! But what happens? he starts paying more attention to the fact that he's starting to get a little wet than he does pay attention to the fact that there's a miracle going on. And guess what? I'm in the middle of it. It's happening to me. And in the midst of all of that miracle, it is bringing me to Jesus. And what happens is he starts concentrating too much about the fact that he's getting wet, and the whole thing goes kablooey as a result. But what does he have the courage to do? Now, this is where he becomes the hero again. If he was Judas, he could just despair and just drown, but he doesn't do that, does he? Or he could throw a pity party for himself and say, oh, look what's happening to me. Jesus, this is all your gag. Now I'm going to look bad. He doesn't do that, does he? He could just tough it out, try to tread water. After all, he's the male alpha in the group, doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of his buddies. He doesn't do that, does he? What does he do? He does Anne Lamott's first prayer. Help me. Help me. Help me. This is where Peter shows his true faith, with a firm conviction that Jesus is going to save him. When we follow that first step of being willing to step out into the water, there is not the guarantee that we're not going to get wet or we're not going to struggle. But the guarantee is that when the call comes from God to do that, we got to continue to look to God for our strength. How many times is the first thing we want to forsake when the going gets rough is to give up on God, when God is the one who can help us get through it? And we give up on each other. And we try to tough it out and do it ourselves. This is how Peter is a hero. Because he's willing to do that. And then he gets into the boat. And then his second prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We were able to experience this in so many ways on this pilgrimage trip with our youth. And in our last day, and it happened all on our last day, so we as a group really didn't get a chance to debrief it until we had the 9:30 service today. But what happened on our last day is we finally had a day of rain and cold. And they had not, believe it or not, experienced that on this pilgrimage. Now, some pilgrimages we've gone on, and that's all we have, is rain and cold. And so we get to this point, to a place called Scott's View. It is Scott's View because it is a place where Sir Walter Scott used to stop every day on his horse. And he would overlook this incredible panorama and vista, overlooking Old Melrose, where the young Cuthbert, who became Saint Cuthbert, was a shepherd, and heard the voice of God calling him to go to Lindisfarne. And he does so, and he ends up becoming the famous prior at Lindisfarne. Well, we go to this place, and our tradition is we will go there and we'll have a picnic lunch on our last day and just enjoy this incredible vista. Well, 16 days of sun, 16 days of warmth. Now we've got rain. Now we have cold. Picture this. The adult facilitators are all out there enjoying their picnic food, enjoying this incredible view, and the kids won't get off the bus. Ew, it's raining. Ew, it's cold. Now, if we had had 16 days of rain and cold like last year's adult pilgrimage had, by the time we got to Scott's View and there was a little shower, they would have cared less. But because we did not have any of the adversity at all for 16 days, a little bit of difficulty seemed like a major issue. The lesson taught? when you get out of the boat, are you going to concentrate figuratively, and in this case literally, about getting a little wet? Or are you going to take part in the miracle that is before your eyes? One other lesson, and this was one for me. Those of you who know me know I've been a travel director for most of my professional life in one way or the other. And the ultimate fear of a travel person is the same fear that a priest has on a Sunday morning, that the alarm's not going to go off and you're going to be late for the service. For a travel director, it means, especially on a departure day on the airline, you cannot oversleep and miss the plane, especially when it's bringing people back to the United States from Europe. And so I had my cell phone set the alarm. I had the alarm in the room set. I called the front desk and I told them, you have to get me up in the morning because I have to take this group to the airport to fly home. Now, the plan was I had the luggage van, so I was going to take the luggage van back to the rental place, and they were going to proceed with the passenger van with George, our bus driver, with all the luggage, and I would leave early, check in the van, and then meet them there, and we'd check in and fly home. The thing we missed is, well, what if Father Marty doesn't get up? Would you believe the phone call from the front desk didn't happen? The alarm in the room didn't go off. Thirdly, my cell phone battery died during the night, so it didn't go off. I had gone to bed, the last I checked was 4 a.m. because I was giving the latest blog entry, if you followed our blog on the website, and I must have fallen asleep with the laptop on my stomach because that's how I woke up, in a panic because I was supposed to be up at 6:45 and woke up at 7:30. The flight was at 9:30, international, and we're a ways from the airport. So, here's where the miracle happens. Throw everything into the suitcase. Run downstairs. Don't even stop at the front desk. Just say, send me the bill, call the airport, tell them I'm running late. Run out to the van, get in the van. Now, I've got a GPS with a chip for Europe that has worked for me flawlessly for 10 years. Guess what was dead this morning? And I've never been at this hotel, and I do not know how to get to the airport from that hotel. So what did I do? Anne Lamott's first prayer. Help me, help me, help me. I got in that van and just started to drive with that prayer on my lips and in my heart, hoping to God that there would be a sign somewhere with that wonderful logo of an airplane and an arrow directing you to the airport. I drove for 10, probably 15 minutes. There was no airplane sign on any roundabout. I did not know if I was going towards the airport or away from the airport. After about 15 minutes, there it was, as clear as day, that airplane logo with an arrow pointing to make a left turn. Whew. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, here's these angels come out of nowhere when these things happen, and I get to the airport and there's no place to park the car at the rental agency. This angel appears out of nowhere, and this man in a thrifty car rental uniform, I didn't talk to him. He didn't know what was going on, but immediately he said to me, just park it over there in that handicapped spot, leave the keys and go, like he knew the whole story, which I did. And then I go to the counter and I got to, of course, fill out all that paperwork that you got to fill out. There's a lady at the counter, no customers there, and it's as if she knew the story, and she just put the contract in front of me. I don't know how she knew who I was. She said, just sign here and go. And I did. Haven't got the bill yet, but I did. Do Do you believe I get to the counter and there is Deborah and our other pilgrimage adult leaders and pilgrims calling, Father Marty, Father Marty. They were in the very front of the line that was this circuitous long line that they had chosen to get in, because if they'd have waited till I got there, we would have missed the plane. And there they were, the very next ones to check in for the flight. Now, you talk about a prayer answered. But for me, here was the one that really brought me to tears when I realized that we were on the flight home, and I have to wear glasses for distance or a contact lens. I didn't have my glasses or my contacts on that morning. There is no way I can read road signs without my glasses or contacts in. That morning, I read road signs. Help me, help me, help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to be willing to get out of the boat like Peter. But just as much, we need to be willing to look to God for help once we do. May we have the courage to do that. Let's take that to our prayer.